RunDNA has an extensive range of running and walking footwear. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists. The RunDNA fitter's advice is second to none. Pop into RunDNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or 391 Fullerton Road, Fullerton. They're open 7 days, plenty of off-street parking. If you walk or run, you need to RunDNA.
Welcome to Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's weekly sports wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define sport across South Australia. It's time for Hooked on Sport with two-time Bradman medalist Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Thanks, Wallace. G'day, Soph. Soph, it's been a very, very long weekend after the disappointment of Friday night. As someone who wears your crow's heart on your sleeve, how are you feeling?
Oh, not great, Hooky. I was full of such positive energy last week. And you know what? I actually had to flee Adelaide. I had to go up to the Barossa this weekend and sink my sorrows in some wine. That's how I was feeling.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to help your mood here, but I have a special guest who is joining us. Unfortunately, he's a Hawthorn supporter. Thankfully, a unicorn, because he is a likable Hawthorn supporter and there aren't too many of those around. But Jules Schiller has been good enough to join us, the ABC breakfast host here in South Australia and, of course, mad Hawthorn supporter. Jules, thanks for your time. Congratulations and welcome to Hooked on Sport.
Yeah, g'day, Hookie. Hi, Sophie. Hi, Wallace. Yeah, it's been 48 hours since my last finals win. So, look, you know, I'm a bit flat. I'm looking forward to another one on Friday, but what a great night it was for the Hawks.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. It's just nice to know that the Hawthorn smugness hasn't ever taken a rest. You might have had a year or two off, but here we are once again, just that moral superiority.
How can we not be smug? It's, I think, the last time the Crows beat us in a cutthroat final was 1993. The last time Geelong beat Hawthorn in a knockout final was 1963. So just the statistics alone are going to make you smug, Hookie and Sophie. No, look, I'm going to get massively pilloried here. I did enjoy the Crows season. I did enjoy the night, and I did feel for the Crows, I have to say, in the end, Sophie. But, you know, you picked the wrong team.
I've got to admit, I reckon it was the first like 30 seconds of the game and I was just thinking, what the hell is going on? This is not a good start. And it kind of just kept going in that fashion.
It did, but I mean, I know, Hookie, you wanted to get me on here to talk through how tough it is to be a Hawthorn supporter in the modern era. And it is. I mean, I've had to cancel my plans for next weekend and probably the weekend after that. So I've had to organise transport to Melbourne. Hookie, you know, when I often sit down and want to watch some sport, I'm like, which grand final do I watch? Is it 13? Is it 15? Do I watch 08? Do I go back to 88? I mean, these are all tough choices for a Hawthorn fan that we have to make all the time.
You've seen 12 Hawthorn premierships, I reckon, in your life, Jules. Are you just a little bit greedy?
No, I'm always hungry for more. You know, they get confusing because, as I said, I rang Dad today and said, Dad, we're off to another prelim. And he said, oh, not again. Really? Another one? And I'm like, come on, Dad, you're 83. You've only said, he's been to like the 71 grand final, all the ones in the 80s, 91. Oh, I can't list them all because they're going to run out of time. But yeah, it is. It's a lot of investment, Sophie, to see this much success. It does change you, not for the good, I have to say, but it does change you.
I might have to redo the intro, Soph, because I said he's a likable Hawthorn supporter, but I'm starting to second guess my judgment.
Yeah, he's feeling pretty unlikable right now. But why Hawthorn? Why have we chosen to barrack for them?
Well, look, and this is where it gets really strange, Sophie, because my dad's dad, so he grew up in Williamstown in Melbourne, and he started supporting Hawthorn when they won nothing. They won absolutely nothing. So when they started to win games eventually in the 60s, he actually had a heart attack and was pronounced dead outside Glenfree Oval after they won a game. This sounds like the setup to a bad joke, but it's not. So he dies outside Glenfree Oval, so therefore my father, in honour of his own dad, has to support Hawthorn. So So fast forward to 2014, Hawthorn are playing Port Adelaide in a preliminary final. Port Adelaide are coming over the top of them. They have a kick for goal to win the prelim in the last 60 seconds. My dad, who's now wearing a pacemaker, has a cardiac event. So the pacemaker recorded a near-death experience. So like his father, he almost died at a Hawthorn game. And now he's been banned from seeing most Hawthorn games live. And so usually after the games, I just have to text win or loss. But he's prepared to roll the dice on Friday and come along, Sophie. This is another thing about supporting a successful club. It's stressful because you expect to win all the time. You should be pitying me.
It sounds like you're a bit down on your luck and you're looking to try and fast forward the inheritance, mate, if you're trying to take your dad to another preliminary final.
Yeah, it's funny because I looked at the text history with my dad over the last year and it's just like win, lose, win, lose. Actually, what am I saying? Win, 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 win. Couple of losses there. So, yeah, so literally he has not seen a final since 2014. So, exactly, this could be his – he'll go out with a bang, I have to say, on Friday.
How are you feeling about the game against the Cats, the great rival of your Hawks?
It is. I mean, I've seen a lot of the Easter Monday clashes. All like my top football experience was watching the Hawks beat Geelong in 2008. And, you know, this was a grand final that was unlosable for Geelong. Hawthorn slightly bent the rules by rushing behind after behind after behind.
The
Crows
the rules.
Kicked a lot of points. And I was working at Nova 919 at the time. And the only correspondent we could get to cover the game for us was Stuart Jew, because I think he ran the Hyde Park Hotel. Or is involved in that.
Right, yeah.
And so the only guest we had booked for the Monday after that grand final was Stewie Jew, and he goes in the third quarter and wins the whole game, kicks three amazing goals. And just to see that live and to win the unwinnable grand final in 2008, that goes down as probably my top football experience of all time.
Stewie Jew, he was at the end of his career then, and that was one of the broadest Hawthorn Guernseys I've ever seen in an AFL grand final.
He was spilling out of it. Alistair Clarkson got his weight down just enough, and he was hoiking those balls 60 metres, and they were just, I was watching him just kind of just curl through the goals. One of the great moments of, I mean, he won one with Port Adelaide, but that one in 2008 was simply brilliant. And the other thing is, Sophie, you run out of places to go to celebrate after the grand finals as well, because you've been there and let's try somewhere different this year. Oh, let's go over to South Yarra to celebrate this year. I'm really becoming unlikable.
talk about unlikable. There's one thing I do have to query you on. Do we feel a little bit dirty supporting a team that Jack Ginnivan plays for?
You know what? And I say this to you, Sophie. If he played for the Crows, you'd love him. Because I hated him at Collingwood. I was like, you arrogant. Like, you have not done enough to celebrate like that. And now I know that. I was talking to Adam, my Crows mate, and when Hawthorn made that final against the Crows, he said, I'm already annoyed at the celebration that Ginnivan is going to do for a goal he has not kicked yet. And that's the sort of player he is. He does annoy opposition fans, but, you know, you do kind of love him, I have to say.
You've got Ginnivan up there and you've got the Wizard as well. I'm just wondering, you know, do you walk into work on a Monday morning to catch up with Sonia for breakfast and, you know, duck your head and play for a free kick at 5:30 as you just started to work out what's on the show?
I have my sellies ready, you know, for the at the end of each show. I have my kind of, you know, I don't know, what are they? There's that one, there's the aeroplane one, there's it is, I don't know, Sophie. I mean, what do you think of watching these kind of celebrations? So they're closer to your generation, that kind of no, you don't like them?
No, I'm a golfer, so I hate anything to do with celebration. It's a little fist pump, that's about it. So I'm not a fan of them at all. It's the early celebration. I hate that. Just tip of the cap. That's all I need. Just something small, minimalistic.
I was reading they actually workshop, they're called sellies. So they actually workshop the sellies in the gym. And I heard Jack Ginnivan saying he doesn't want to give away too many secrets because other Hawthorn forward players are going to steal his sellies. And I'm like, that's how entitled the club is becoming. They're actually workshopping their celebrations. But anyway, I mean, it's working, so who am I to criticise?
Is there, as a Hawthorn supporter, is there, and we know the rivalry with Geelong, but is there a team that you really, if you can't win it, is there one team that you just do not want to see win? I mean, I think for most people it's Collingwood, but is there anyone in particular for you guys? Now there's only four left.
Who do I not, out of the four? I mean, can I say Geelong? It would have to be Geelong, I would have to say. Not that I don't. I mean, my brother-in-law is a Geelong fan. You know, my family's from Western Victoria. So, I don't know. I think I don't hate teams as much as I should. Maybe that's because you're supporting a team that's been successful. But yeah, Geelong would be the team that I wouldn't want to see win. What about you guys, Sophie? Are you guys both Hawthorn, obviously?
I'm quickly becoming Geelong, actually.
As in pro Geelong.
I'm wanting Geelong to win. No, I'm wanting to get pro Geelong. I'm wanting Geelong to win. But talking about this, I'm actually getting a bit sick of this. Can we actually turn to the AFLW? How did your Hawthorn girls go in that recently against the Adelaide Crows? Can't quite remember the score.
We had to even the ledger a little bit. I believe that it was a comprehensive win for the Crows.
I think it was about 21 points.
I've skipped over that. Yeah, it was reasonably. It was comprehensive. It's not a big deal. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to lead with sport tomorrow on the ABC. Crows smash Hawthorn. You know, that was a good news story.
Yeah. Yeah,
you'll get plenty of people on the show tomorrow, Jules, Crows, Port fans. I want to ask you your advice as an independent person who's very heavily involved in the South Australian media market. The Port Adelaide fans, are they now able to absolutely give it back to the Crows fans who they've been copping it from all year after Adelaide dropped out in straight sets? Or did you just keep your powder dry until next year?
Well, you know what? I was sitting with a Port fan today. I had a beer with him, and he had screenshotted comments from Crows fans from years ago. Like, he'd literally saved them in
the
his photo album. So, you know, about the straight sets gag, about Port being chokers and whatever like that. And then he sent back individual messages with pictures of their screenshots from years ago. And I love the pettiness of that, Hookie and Sophie. I love the fact that you've kept your powder dry for years and finally you've got your opportunity to let loose. So, yes, I think if you're a Port fan, you would be absolutely giving it to the Crows.
I actually had one of my friends who's a massive Port fan, and I might have sent a few messages last year, and he actually just sent a message back after the game, which all it said was welfare check for Sophie Hilditch. And I was like, yeah, I need to cop this. I definitely do.
Jules, Wallace, you heard at the top of the show, he is our team captain here at Hooked on Sport. You being a Hawthorn man, are you going to try and poach our captain in the coming weeks? That's kind of the way it goes at Hawthorn, isn't it? Just approach other team captains?
Yeah, Wallace and I have been meeting with his manager as well, but we want to keep that confidential. We're only telling every journalist that I know in the industry so they could break it on the 20 footy shows that happen. Yeah, no, look, poaching captains. Why poach a VFL or a Sandville player? Just go straight for the captain. You know, that's what we do at Hawthorn. Anyone else is a bit low rent.
Zach Merritt will look all right in brown and gold next year, you reckon?
Well, I reckon he might go. I mean, I think if you're publicising the meetings that much, or whoever's doing it, him or his manager or the Hawks, I think he might go.
But the fact that he hasn't put his head up, the fact that he hasn't put his head up since all that broke suggests that he's not coming back to Essendon anytime soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't go to the best and fairest and you know you're going to win, that's the sign. I mean, you know, I've never been to I go to lots of award nights and have never won anything.
Yes.
You know, can you imagine being so good that you can afford to miss one? So, yeah, look, I think that might happen.
Jules, so good that you could join us, mate. It's late on a Sunday night and you're a breakfast radio host with the ABC on Monday morning. So we understand that we are compromising your sleep. I was starting to think maybe I was looking forward to seeing Hawthorn go deep into this final series. I perhaps have changed my mind a little, but honestly, mate, thanks so much for your time and good luck for your Hawks in the next couple of weeks.
You don't mean good luck, you guys. After what you've just heard from me, you're just hoping that I'm taken down a peg. You'll get me back on if we lose by 1 point next week, won't you?
The whole show will be devoted to Jules Schiller's Mea Culpas.
See you guys.
See ya.
See ya, mate. Well, Soph, I was hoping to get Jules on to make you feel a little bit better about things, but I don't know if I've had any success whatsoever.
That made me feel completely worse about things. So well done with that one, Hookie.
Right. Well, let's talk about some other things. Let's get the Crows off our mind.
Yep.
They have been disappointing. Let's talk about some of our favourite stories going around in South Australian sport. I want to start with a bit of a spate of amazing upsets that have occurred in local sport over the last couple of days. It all started last weekend when West Adelaide Soccer Club, who were 11 points clear on top of the ladder at the end of the minor round, went out in the second semi and out in the preliminary final to go out in straight sets, which was unheard of for a team that had been so far clear. Metro Stars, it's happened in the men's competition as well. Metro Stars were 13 points clear at the end of the minor round. They won their semi-final, which was played over two legs. So they beat Adelaide United in both of those legs. They went into a grand final against Croydon on the weekend. They were 1-0 down in the 47th minute. They scored to equalise in the 91st minute, conceded in the 93rd minute, and a team that was 13 points clear on top of the ladder, Metro Stars, has been bundled out in the grand final with just a couple of minutes to spare. If that's not brutal, the most brutal story of the weekend, you know how I've talked to you about old collegians in the rugby union competition and how dominant they've been? They got steamrolled by Burnside in the grand final yesterday, lost 50-33. Now, no one can see this, but your eyes have just raised like dinner plates there as I told you that story. So it's just been an incredible run of absolutely devastating stories for one. Of course, it's big celebrations for the other. Just worth pointing out that in the Great Southern Football League, Wollonga were dominant all year, only lost one game for the year, I'm pretty sure. They were minor premier. They also went out in straight sets, lost to Victor Harbour in the second semi-final, then lost to McLaren Districts yesterday in the preliminary final. So we talk about the Crows being the team that has gone south in straight sets, but it's happened all over sport, so.
Well, Hookie, I actually was so depressed with the Crows lost on Friday that I actually go look at what our South Australians were doing over in Japan at the World Athletics Championship over there. They're competing this weekend. And I've got to say, Hookie, I think we've got a core group of medalists coming from the Paris Olympics competing with some high hopes of our young generational talent. I am actually, though, looking at Lizzie McMillan, who's about to compete in the 20-kilometre walk, Aidan Murphy, the sprinter, and Olivia Sandro, who's going over and doing the 35-kilometre walk. I cannot wait to see these people compete. They might have already competed by the time this show is actually aired tomorrow.
Well, Tara Palm has run the marathon this morning. She did an amazing job in absolutely brutal conditions. She ran 2:44. It's a lot slower than her best time, but this was a really difficult hilly course. And I think it was 30 degrees and 70% humidity or something like that. So you can imagine what that was like. So really pleased for Tara, who we've talked about on this show before. Yeah, two walkers. It's a funny sport, isn't it, race walking? I mean, the best description I've ever heard of it, it's like a competition to see who can whisper the loudest. So I've always been a little bit uncomfortable about whether I should really embrace race walking. But do you know how fast these guys go? So if I don't know if you've ever seen race walkers in action, but they are genuinely a lot faster than I've run a marathon. These guys will do 42 Ks and be showered, rested up, had a hot dog, pie, Coke, by the time I've crossed the finish line myself. It's amazing how quick they are.
Well, I've actually given it a go. My school, so this is going back a fair while now, I actually made you try and learn all these different sports. So I had to go give the walking a go. I was looking at it. It's so hard to do. It's a terrible move. So I actually admire these walkers.
This is great, Soph. So a couple of weeks ago, you were comparing your weightlifting to Kiana Elliott, and now you're comparing your race walking to a couple of world championship stars. I love it. I've got to tell the story about Aidan Murphy, who's a young South Australian sprinter. I think he's going to run in the 100 and 200. Of course, everyone's talking about gout, but I'm so looking forward to seeing Aidan Murphy compete. He holds the state record for the 100 metres here in South Australia. His mum is Tanya Van Heer. She still holds the state women's 100 metre record. So going to be great to see Aidan Murphy competing for Australia at the international level at a world championship as well. Just a quick one, Soph. I was at the lacrosse grand finals yesterday, the lacrosse SAGFs. The women's game was Brighton versus Woodville. Brighton won it 10-7. Really good game. Woodville were excellent, I thought, for a raging underdog. And then it was Glenelg who beat Brighton in the men's game. I want to give a big congratulations to the Williams family. Mel is captain of the Brighton team. And her daughters, Indy and Zephyr, both played in that team. They've played in 8 premierships together, 8 straight, as mum and 2 daughters. So I think that is just tremendously exciting. And their son, or Mel's son, Kai, transferred from Brighton to Glenelg about 4 years ago, and he won a premiership medal as well. So mum and the 3 kids, all a premiership medal in a couple of hours each other. I thought that was a lovely little story.
Oh, that's a great story. I love that one, Hookie. Well, I was actually looking at the for the girls and noticed that Denny Van Hagen is returning to footy with Glenelg. Now, I don't know if you remember this one. It was actually didn't believe in the COVID jab, so she didn't return to AFLW, but she was actually a 2-time premiership player with the Crows, winning in 2019 Adelaide's best defensive player. So I bet you the Bays are so excited to have her back on board.
Well, it's great that we've gone past that era where, I mean, she was sort of shunned from community, from society, and vilified for her stance, which I think we all sort of look back on that time now and think, there was a whole host of things going on that in the cold, hard light of day, we can sort of look back on it and say, well, yes, it was a choice that was different to perhaps what the rest of society was making, but did she really need to be vilified and sort of shunned from the whole of the community? So it's great to see that she's back. She's going to play some footy in the SANFL-W for Glenelg. She's obviously a talent. So I'm really excited for her that she's going to get that opportunity to have a run around again. And I hope she gets all of the support that she richly deserves. Hey, you know that I'm a bit of an addict of country footy, guys. Can I just give you a quick round about of what's happened in country footy over the weekend? Because there's some really cool stories. Macclesfield has won the Hills Country Grand Final by, wait for it, 115 points over Kangarilla. Only beaten them by 17 points in the second semi-final, but they've won by 115 points, about 17 goals. It almost reminiscent of the 2007 Port Adelaide Geelong Grand Final, Soph, which I love talking about to my wife. They conceded on average 42 points a game, Macclesfield, so they're absolutely dominant in that Hills Country competition. In the Whyalla League, Central Whyalla have beaten Rapina by a point after being 21 points down at three-quarter time. So we spoke about Scott Collison last week, who played his 350th game in the second semi-final. So he's been part of a premiership team beating the minor premier Rupina. Western United beat Ceduna by 90, the Ceduna Blues, I beg your pardon. Western United, this is in the Western Air League. Western United have won by 97 points over the Ceduna Blues. Now, they won their second semi-final over the same team, over the Blues, by 216 points. So that was a relative cliffhanger when you compare that to the second semi-final. Byron Pickett for Western United kicked 117 goals for the year in 12 games. So do your maths on the averages there. Mandala are into the grand final against Kingston in the Cowrie Narracourt Tadiara Football League. I think this is an amazing story. They have won 17 flags in the last 41 years, and they're going for their 42nd. They won 7 straight between 94 and 2000. They've won 6 in the last 24 years. But I'll just make this point. They play in a league with Panola, with Bordertown, Narracourt, Keith and Kingston. Panola's population 1,600, Bordertown's 3,100, Narracourt 5,300, Keith 1,400, Kingston 1,700. Mandala has a population of 315, and they are dominating that league against these fairly big country towns. So the Mandala Footy Club, they're nicknamed the Bumblebees. I think they are the Tigers, but they wear a Guernsey with black and gold hoops. So they look like bumblebees. So, there they are going for another grand final, chasing their 18th in 42 years, Soph.
Unbelievable, Ben.
Wallace, what if you move us on? We might get into a bit of Sophie Star.
It's time to see which athletes have been selected this week in Sophie Star and Ben's Best.
Sophie Star of the Week. It's Izzy Bat Doyle. Now, Izzy Bat Doyle just ran the 10K at the World Champs. She made it into the finals, finished 17th, and I think that's an outstanding achievement. She is normally a marathon runner, actually, Hookie, and we've spoken about Tara Palm before, and her running the 10K made way for Tara Palm to enter into that team. But what I found interesting is she's been recently interviewed about why she chose the 10K. And she was saying it's because she has so much time in older age for the marathon, so she wanted to give the 10K as just one last chance. But I also liked what she said. Her idol is actually her mother. She's 66 years old. She's finished her sixth marathon. That's Rosie Batt, a well-known lawyer. And I just think that's an unbelievable story. I think that's such a motivator. Izzy actually trains her mum, which I just think that's just such a cool story. So she's Sophie Star of the Week.
Brilliant, Soph. I love it. I'm a big fan of Izzy Bat Doyle. I've interviewed her quite a bit back in my days working for the paper. One of the things I think she wanted to run this 10K was because she went to the Tokyo Olympics and ran the 5K. Mm-hmm. But the Tokyo Olympics, of course, had no crowds. So she just wanted to go back and have a run in that stadium in front of a full crowd, so full house crowd. She got that experience. She ran 17. She said she would have liked to have finished a little bit higher, but she's run 31:50. Can you imagine running 3-minute Ks for 10 kilometres? It is staggering stuff. So well done to Izzy Bat Doyle. Great story. So if Ben's best. We have kind of had this funny thing where you tend to focus on the women and I tend to focus on the men. And I am going to flip the script today because Ben's best is Megan Shute, playing her 100th game of One Day International Cricket for Australia as we speak. She is the 9th Australian to reach 100 One Day International. She's played well in excess of 140 T20 matches for Australia as well. A kid from Hackham. Grew up in the era where, as a young girl, she had to play alongside the boys. She spent 16 years playing with South Australia, all 12 years of the WBBL playing with the Adelaide Strikers. Never once could her loyalty be questioned. And I actually interviewed her about this a while back. And look, she speaks her mind, and I really admire her for that. But she was really annoyed by a new rule that came in that saw internationals, they were being sent into a draft system. And that meant Laura Woolvart, who played 3 or 4 years for the Adelaide Strikers, could theoretically be lost to the team because she would have to go into a draft and could be picked up by someone else. Megan Shute, she just wanted to keep her crew together. You know, she just wanted to be able to play with the same team that had some success. And I thought it was in her own way, and she's tough, Megan, but it was just really sweet. The way she saw it as, I'm not interested in this opportunity that I could maybe have somewhere else and go and earn more money. I just want to play for Adelaide with my crew and see if we can all be successful together. And I thought it was wonderful. 100 games for Australia is incredible. She is Ben's best this week.
Incredible, Ben. Great choice.
And she's just bowled 7 overs, 2 for 45.
She got a second wicket in that 7th over. There you are.
Fair or fast, Sophie and Ben challenge each other with their sporting conundrums.
All right, Hookie, I reckon I've got a good one for you this week. Matthew Lloyd said the Crows choked, and he's right. Fair or fast?
Oh, gee, you've given that the most cursory fair or fast, as if you're just so disgusted with the Crows and that we're going to have to talk about them. I watched Matthew Lloyd on the Channel 9 Footy Show talk about this today. I think he's wrong. I think it's a farce. I don't think it's a choke in the true definition, like a hot favourite, just completely imploding. I do think they've learned a lot about how to construct a finals campaign. And I've felt like Adelaide, over the course of the minor round, played every card they had in their hand to earn top spot. And then they had nothing up their sleeve for the finals. And I would compare that to the way Collingwood came into the final series, the way Hawthorn have come into the final series, even Geelong, who Adelaide didn't play against. But, gee, the way they handled Brisbane in week one of the finals suggests to me that they came with a few extra tricks up their sleeve that maybe Adelaide didn't have. So, look, I don't think it's a choke, but I definitely think it's a realisation of their deficiency, both in coaching and of personnel, plenty to work on over the summer. Righto, Soph, well, let's stick with the Crows. Matthew Nix did say the Isaac Rankin saga didn't affect the football club, and he's right. Is that fair or farce?
Look, I think it's fair. I think let's look at the Crows' performance. I think we really showed in the finals how reliant Crows were on Isaac Rankin as a key player in that team. And I think we just couldn't feel his gap. We couldn't feel the physical presence. I don't think the media attention that the whole Isaac Rankin impacted the team, but I think his physical presence was actually missed. We needed him in the forward line. We needed his structure through the centre.
I think it's a farce. I think it had a serious effect. I think the group felt the sting of the public outcry that led up to that qualifying final. And I feel like it hovered like a pall over the club until the final siren on Friday night against Hawthorn. I mean, first it was Rankin himself who sort of let everyone down. Then it was the club's defence of him which saw the sentences take a week to be resolved. Then the booing for the qualifying final. It was sort of build-up after build-up after build-up. It was embarrassing for the club. It was awkward for the players. And Adelaide, I think, commendably, does try very hard to be this morally superior club. And maybe that's unrealistic in the real world. And without fail, though, when something like this goes awry, the club seems just incapable of doing anything other than tie itself into a complete pretzel. I remember Josh Rochelli was pointing at his teeth at the Port Adelaide fans. He got dropped for it. I reckon that's the sort of thing, just a quiet word and a quiet stern word, but then public support probably suffices there. Tyson Stengel got booted out of the club. He got stopped with illicit drugs. It was a serious issue. But why would you not embrace and educate and you keep a guy who becomes an All-Australian small forward? Or you at least try and trade him for some value. Instead, they just moved him almost as a bit of a way of saying, no, we're the good guys here. Tim Silvers went and apologised to the Sydney Swans for the Wayne Miller rabble interview. I mean, again, a quiet word and a bit of public support, I think, would have made more sense there. So if Nixie thinks this wasn't a factor, I think he's wrong. And he needs to understand how this club has mishandled all of these. And I'd ask this question, Soph. How would Geelong have handled this if all of those incidents were Bailey Smith? And I reckon you'd have a very, very different answer to the way the Crows have handled it.
Ben, fair point. It's the right time for Taylor Walker to retire. Fair or farce?
Oh, gee, I love Tex. Look, fair, but I reckon it's got to be his decision. If I'm Adelaide, I say, if you want a contract, you can have one. It'll be a small one, but we're not going to try and convince you to play. And if I was advising Tex independently, I'd liken this a little bit to Shane Warne. I'd be happy to see this as Tex's final season, not because I think he can't contribute next year, but I just reckon there is something elegant in exiting before the tank is absolutely empty. And I reckon Taylor has that opportunity. Yeah, he'll play some good games next year. He'll probably only play 10 to 15, but I reckon this is the right time. So fair. Taylor Walker, I would be very comfortable if he decided to retire. One more for you. Might get off the Crows, hey? We touched on it with Jules a little bit earlier in the show. Zach Merritt cannot set his foot back inside the Essendon Football Club. Fair or farce?
Yeah, we did touch on this one, didn't we? Look, I think I'm going to go farce, but I'm really on the fence on this one. This is a really good question, Ben. Get it. He's actually, he's 29 now. So he's trying to do what he can do to get a premiership. I can kind of see that. And Essendon, they're a really young team. I can see he's just trying to get a premiership and he doesn't really see that Essendon is going to do it in the next 5-6 years when he's probably not around anymore. But also, I've just got to say, like, I mean, what do Essendon do? Like, they need him. They need that age. They need that experience. So I think farce, Hooky. I think he can step foot back in the Essendon Football Club.
Soph, we disagree from time to time. I could not disagree with you more vehemently than the position you have taken on this. It is absolutely fair. He can't set foot back inside the club. Once this leaked, he had to address it, and he had to address it within 24 hours, and he's gone completely underground, which only underlines the shiftiness of his actions. He's the captain of the football club, for goodness sake. He is supposed to be setting the standards and leading and driving what the expectations are of all the other players, and this is just so underhanded. I think he's lost a lot of skin, and no matter where he ends up, I can't see how it can be at Essendon now. I just think the reputational damage will stay with him for the rest of his career. He is done at Essendon Football Club, and wherever he goes, I just don't know he'll be really, truly embraced like he would have been if he'd remained an Essendon player for life.
In Hookie's Power Rankings, Ben reviews every state National League team based in South Australia. Perform well and you're a chance to make the top 10.
Yeah, righto. Well, let's wheel through these pretty quickly. I'm bringing our AFLW teams into the rankings. I'm going to start with Port Adelaide at 10. They had a fantastic win yesterday over previously undefeated Melbourne. The Crows are at 9. They've got 3 wins for the year. They were excellent today against Hawthorn, and thank goodness we could save some face when we had Jules Schiller on the show. So the Seacliff Men's Hockey Club are in 7th. I have just gone past 8th spot, where I've put Glenelg in, who had a fantastic 2-point win over Norwood today, so they'll take on Sturt in the SANFL Grand Final next weekend. Seacliff Men's Hockey Team in 7th. Seacliff Women's Hockey Team in 6th. Croydon, this is the soccer team that defeated Metro Stars 2-1, so they've come from nowhere to go to 5th in the rankings. Also coming from nowhere into the rankings is Burnside Rugby Union Club, who defeated Old Collegians. That was just a stunning victory, 17 points, the margin there. The Glenelg Lacrosse Club, the men's team, defeated Brighton. It's their first title since 2021, so they hold 3rd spot. 2nd spot is the Brighton Women's Lacrosse Club, who won the premiership over Woodville. It's their 8th straight flag. I don't think they've lost a game since 2021, and they haven't lost a final in that whole 8-year period. So they've always gone 2nd semi-final win into the grand final and win. And my number one team, once again, they've just been sitting idly waiting to see what came out of today's preliminary final. But at the Sturt Football Club, are number one in the power rankings once again. They'll go into this weekend's grand final very, very confident after bowling over the Bays by 42 points last weekend, guys.
Nice to belatedly get the AFLW girls in there, Hookie. I like it.
Yeah, it took me to round 3. I did have a few that I was trying to juggle as we got towards grand finals and so forth, but they'll be regular fixtures. You can be assured of that from here on. Talking about regular fixtures, you are a regular fixture in top amateur golf here in South Australia, and you're teeing it up on Tuesday.
Yes, I am teeing it up. The South Australian Amateur to be played at the Vines on Tuesday. I haven't played much competition golf in a while, so I don't know if I'll be making the power rankings next week, but you never know. You never know.
Just tell us a little bit about the field. If you can't win it, who do you think might?
Oh, it's an incredible field this year for the girls. It's actually 2 rounds of stroke play, qualify for top 16, and we roll into match play. And you actually never know when it comes to match play who's going to win. But we have the likes of Jazzy Roberts, represented Australia many times, coming over from Victoria. And, of course, we have our own Reagan Denton and Amelia Winnie. And, I mean, it's hard to look past those 2 girls.
Are you playing at the Vines? Do you like the course?
Yeah, I love the course. It's great. I've played it many times. I've actually won a couple of Vardens there. So you never know.
Well, good luck, Soph. We wish you all the best. And Wallace, we might have something to celebrate next week if Soph can continue her great record at the Vines.
Looking forward to it, Hookie. And Sophie, all the best.
Thanks, guys.
Great chat tonight, guys. We'll see you soon.
Have a great week. That stumps on another episode of Hooked on Sport. We appreciate you listening and trust you enjoyed the show. Help us reach more sports-minded people just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company next week on Hooked on Sport.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I'd encourage you to take a listen to Beyond the Club. It's a project I've been working on with Flinders University. Now I co-host it with Professor Sam Elliott, and we break down all the latest research on how to maximise the experience of junior and club athletes. There's a range of resources, special guests, and cutting-edge info on how you can make your club a safer, happier place for your kids and their club mates. Beyond the Club, wherever you get your podcasts.